Where today's daf will deal with the issues of oaths. So we just saw at the very end of yesterday's learning that there is an oath that a witness can be imposed on a witness. If two witnesses know testimony that could give me benefit, that could save me money, that could extricate money for me, and I impose an oath on them, and they accept that imposition, and they claim that they don't know the testimony, then it turns out they did. They have to bring a karban as an atonement. So we saw that the Gemara had a discussion. What happens if I imposed on them a testimony in a situation where it's not really about money, but it's about something that can cause money? In other words, I imposed on them a testimony about chametz after Pesach that was stolen that could be returned, but if it would be gone, then it would then you don't have the chametz to return, you'd have to give money. So we had an argument whether that which could cause money is also considered money. Okay, Amar Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes said, "Hakofer bepikadon. If I'm watching something and the person who gave it to me demands it back, and I deny that I have it, but in truth I do have it, nasa olav gazlan. Just the denial itself makes me a thief, because I'm supposed to give it back. I'm refusing to give it back. Now I'm a thief. So once I'm a thief, I'm obligated in paying for it, even if." There is some fluke that happens, something that happens which is an onus. I'm still going to be responsible. As a watchman, I wouldn't be responsible for onsin, for things that happen out of control. But once I've denied that I had it, once I'm a thief, so I have to pay like the moment of theft, regardless of what happens to the object. The chayev onsin, and I'm now obligated in even payment for things that happen out of control. Says the Gemara, we have a source for this. We have support for this. V'tana tuna, we have a brisa that said this. The Pasuk says in regards to a watchman who denies that he has an object to watch, v'chicheshba, and he will deny about it. And the Pasuk then continues, he has to return that which he stole. So lamadnu onesh. So you see from this Pasuk that once a person denies that he has an object and he's trying to keep it for himself, he's now a thief, and he gets punished by having to pay for the value of the stolen item. And therefore, even if that item then gets destroyed through an act of God, he still owes that money. As Harami 9, where do we have in the Pasuk a warning, namely a prohibition to deny that one has somebody else's object? Denying one has, he's not allowed to do that. Talmud Loma, that's what the Pasuk says, lo sechachashu, don't deny, don't lie. My love, lo neshmama. Presumably this Pasuk is saying that when a person is a watchman and the object is asked, the depositor asks for the object back, if he denies it, he's already in violation. So I said, well, maybe not. Maybe lo neshvua. Maybe the Pasuk is only saying that if he swears that he doesn't have it, then he becomes responsible for it. But not that only if he denies it, he's already responsible. The Gemara says, no, Amidaktani Seifa, since at the end of the Braisa, the Ishtaba, it starts to talk about a case where the watchman swears, Michlau Dereisha, the low Ishtaba, that implies that in the earlier parts of the Braisa, it's where the watchman did not swear. The Katani Seifa, because it says at the end of that Braisa, the Pasuk says, Vinish Baal Shaker, and he'll swear in vain. And then he admits, and then he has to pay the amount plus a fifth. L'madnu onesh. So that tells me a case of a, that tells me that there's a punishment, a particular punishment of paying the amount plus a fifth if he swore falsely. Azhar Minayin, where's the warning where the Torah says there's a prohibition in swearing falsely? Tamal Loma, that's what the Pasuk says. Lo sishakru. So we need a sefer b'ishtaba. Since the end of that brisa is talking about where the watchman swears, Reish, the beginning of the brisa is the lowest shtaba. It's where he did not swear. And so we see a source for the lesson of Rav Sheshes, that when a watchman denies that he has the object that he has, that itself makes him into a thief, even though he hasn't yet sworn. So the Gemara says, maybe not. Amri, they said in the yeshiva, maybe the ishtaba. Maybe both the beginning of the brisa and the end of the brisa is where the watchman swore. But kan shahoda, in the end of the brisa, he has to pay a fifth because he admitted that he swore falsely. The kan in the beginning of the brisa, he doesn't pay the fifth. He just is obligated for damages even when they happen by an act of God. Shabo Edom, where witnesses came. And that's how we know that he lied in the oath. And this is the difference. Asu edim chayiv ba'onsin. If witnesses are the ones that tell us that his oath is false, he has to pay now for the acts of God that damage. Oduye, oduye, when he's admitting, then chayim karen chomish v'ashim, then he has to pay the principal, plus a fifth, and he has to bring a carbon. So there's no proof necessarily from this brisa to the din of Rav Sheshes. Whatever causes money also has the status of money. So must have Rami Bar Chama. Now Rami Bar Chama challenged the idea of Rav Sheshes. Again, Rav Sheshes says that if a watchman is watching an object and then the owner asks for it back and the watchman says, no, I don't have it, even though he didn't swear, he's already responsible for it now because now he's already a thief. We learned later, we're going to learn later, that normally when a person swears, when there's a fight, let's say, I say Yaakov owes me money. I say Yaakov owes me 100. Yaakov says, no, I only owe you Zev 10. So then, right, Yaakov is admitting partially. He swears he doesn't owe the other 90 and then he doesn't have to pay. But sometimes it's not Yaakov who gets to swear. I, the one making the claim, get to swear. And through my oath, I collect the money. I swear he does owe me the other 90 and he has to give me. So when would that be? One of the cases is Shekinegdo Chashad al Hashvuah. The person I'm arguing with, namely Yaakov, is suspected, and he doesn't have credibility to be able to swear to get off the hook because he's been caught in the past swearing falsely. So since he's been caught in the past swearing falsely, so he can't swear to get off the hook, I swear and collect that which is my claim against him. So what's the case? Kate said, what's the case of a guy who is suspect about an oath? Echad Shvuas Eidus, maybe we know that people had imposed an oath on him because he had been a witness and he had refused and he had accepted that imposition and he admitted that he had sworn falsely. Echad Shvuas Avigadon, or he had been a watchman and the depositor had asked for the object back. He claimed he never had it. An oath was imposed on him. He accepted the oath and it turned out that he was a liar. V'afilu Shvuas Shav, or even if he's a liar in a non-monetary case, he just had sworn in vain. He swore that it's 20 degrees outside when it was 60 degrees outside. So he swore falsely. So once he's a person who's been convicted of swearing falsely, we would not accept his oath to get him off the hook when there's a claim against him. Rather, we would allow the claimer to swear and collect from him. Now, if the din of Rav Sheshes is correct, that when a watchman denies that he has an object that he's watching, that itself makes him just denying it makes him into a thief, so then why do we need to wait for a case where the watchman swore? Bekfiru divsale. If the watchman denied that he was watching an object, he's a thief. Now, we don't believe thieves when they swear. So then once he denied it, he'd already be disqualified from swearing. Amri, so they answered in the yeshiva, Achab mayaskina dekai ba'agam. In the Mishnah, where the watchman is only loses his credibility once he swears, that's because the stolen object was not in his hand. The stolen object was in the swamp. The lav kfiruhu. So when a guy says to the person whom he was supposed to the depositor, I never got your object, when the object is in the swamp, that's not considered an act of theft. Why? Because we understand that what he's saying is, I'm just going to try to avoid the person who deposited until I can get to the swamp and bring it back. I'm just buying time. He's not trying to steal. He's trying to buy time, and then he doesn't lose his credibility. When did Rav Sheshes say that when a watchman denies that he has an object, he's already a thief? That's when he's denying it and he has the object in his hand right now. So it's right in his hand. He could return it. He's not returning it. He's denying it. That makes him into a thief. Teda, what's the proof to this? How do we know that when a person is possibly just buying time, he doesn't become disqualified from swearing? Ravidi bar Avin said, Hakofer b'milvel. Let's say Yaakov borrowed money from me, and I demand the money back. Yaakov denies that he owes me the money. So even though he denied it, he's kosher l'edus. He's kosher as a witness. Why? Because the money is really he acquired. So what's he doing when he's denying it? He's just trying to buy himself time to pay back. And therefore, he stays as a kosher witness. However, if it's pikadon, it wasn't that I lent money to Yaakov. I deposited money to Yaakov, and I asked for it back, and he denies it. Pasul eidus, now he's no longer accepted as a witness. So what's the difference? The difference is that when it's a deposit, he has the deposit. When it's a loan, he doesn't have the money anymore. He spent the money. Deposit he can't spend. The loan he can spend. So when he spent the money, we assume he's just trying to buy time, so he doesn't become disqualified. But when there's a deposit and he denies it, then he becomes disqualified.
What is the difference between the deposit and the loan? If the guy does, you know, spend it.
He's not allowed to touch a deposit. We assume he never did. He's just watching something.
Okay, all right, okay, just watch.
Ask the Gemara against Rav Sheshes. Iva Amar Ilfa, but we know that Ilfa said, Shvua Kona, an oath makes a person acquire it, which the Gemara assumes means that when a watchman swears that he doesn't have an object, which he really does have, then he acquires the object, and if there are damages to the object, he needs to pay based on the moment of the oath. Shvu the kanyan, an oath acquires the object. Aval kfira lo kanyan, implying that just denying that he has it doesn't yet make him a thief to acquire it. So the says, no, hachanami the kaim of agam. That's in the case when the object is not around. When the object is not around, so then the oath is what makes him into a thief. And just denial would only be interpreted as buying time. But when the object would be around, even denial itself would be considered an act of theft. And if you want, I could tell you another explanation. My shvua kona, what does it mean? What did Ilfa mean when he said an oath makes a person acquire the object? Kidder Rav Huna, that's like the lesson of Rav Huna. Rav Huna Marav, Rav Huna said the name of Rav. Mana libiyatcha, a guy who goes to his friend and he says to him, you owe me 100 coins. Fallo omen, the other guy says, no, I don't owe you anything. Vinishba, and then he swears that he doesn't owe anything. He never admitted. Had he admitted, then he'd have to pay a fifth, and he'd have to bring a carbon as an atonement for the false oath. He never admits. Witnesses come and say he owes me the 100 coins. Potter. So Rav is a chiddush. Rav says he doesn't need to pay me. He already paid me. His swearing was a payment. It's such a frightening experience to swear, and that's already giving me something. Shenema, that's what the pasuk says. V'lakach ba'alav, the master will take the oath. V'lo yishalem, and the one who makes the oath doesn't have to swear. Doesn't have to pay. Kevin shekiblu abaylam shvua, since the owner of the object has gotten an oath. Shuvei mishalem mamon, the one who made the oath doesn't have to swear. So normally you read that pasuk as saying that if I claim he owes me 100. And he, you know, says he owes me 10, so we're arguing about 90. He swears about the other 90. I take the oath, and he doesn't have to pay so long as we haven't disproven his oath. But once witnesses come that say that he's lying, then he'd have to pay me the 90. So Rav's chiddush is, no, even when witnesses come, he still doesn't pay me the 90. I got the oath. The only time he would pay me the 90 is if he admits that it was a false oath, then he has to pay me the other 90, and he has to add another fifth, he has to add another, you know, 25 for the false oath, and he has to bring a carbon ash.
And he's labeled as a compulsive liar.
Well, he'd be labeled as a compulsive liar once witnesses come. He's a liar.
Credibility's
gone, but since he gave me the oath, he doesn't have to pay me money.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, that's it's very hard to accept that, like you say, but maybe this is talking about rabbis, ish, mamim, akadosh, baruch hu, so that if this guy swear.
Yeah. That's part of it. So that's that adds to the credibility. It's a very powerful thing. A person swears.
But the korban, what kind of a korban? Yeah.
Korban asham.
Asham.
Gufa, we learned. A very difficult idea, as everybody's struggling with it. That Amar Rav Huna Marav. Rav Huna says in the name of Rav. Manali biyadcha. I go to Yaakov. I say, Yaakov, you owe me 100 coins. V'alo Omer. Yaakov says back. Ein lecha biyadi klum. Sorry, Zev. I don't owe you anything. V'nishban, he swore. Uvo Edom and witnesses came that he swore falsely. Potter, he still doesn't have to pay. Shenamers, the pasuk says, V'lakach ba'ala, the owner will take it. V'lo Yisham, he doesn't have to pay. Kivin shekiblu ba'alim shvua, since the owner, the owner of the 100, got an oath, shuv'ein mishalim mamon, he doesn't pay money. Amai Rava, Rava said, Mestabra milsi de Rav, b'milva de lotza nitna. Makes sense that the law of Rav would be applying to a case of a loan. I lent him $100. He denied it. He swore falsely about it. And now it turns out the witnesses say that I did in fact lend him the $100. Why? Because when I lend him money, so the core money becomes his. The loan is his. He can use it for whatever he wants. He then spent it. The loan is gone. So the loan is gone. He just has to pay it back. He has to produce his own money. So maybe we'll say, instead of producing your own money, the fact that you gave a loan in the court, that's already giving something. Aval pikadon, but let's say the argument was not about a loan, it was about a deposit. I gave him $100 to watch. He never had a right to touch that $100. He's just supposed to watch it. I asked for it back. He claims he never had it. He never got it. And he swears. And then witnesses come and say, it was a false oath. We see he's got it. So birshusi demarikai, the object is always mine. He's just watching the object, but it's always my object. So now that we have witnesses proving that his oath was false, we're going to say he doesn't have to give me the object back. It's my object. He should give me the object back. Then he should pay it back. That's what we would have thought. However, said Rav Avo Elohim, but by God, Amar Rav, Rav said, his halach afilu b'pikadon. Even if the oath was not about a loan, it was about a deposit, he doesn't have to pay me the deposit back if he swore falsely. And we only know that he swore falsely from witnesses. The chiksiv kra. The pasuk is referring, but pikadon ksiv, it's referring to a deposit.
Rabbi, all these cases are if there are witnesses. What happens if there is no witness?
Mm-hmm.
So he could swear falsely and get away with it.
That's correct.
Like Hillary, right?
100%.
Sure.
Okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You had to say that. You didn't really have a question. You had to understand.
It's the news of the day, so I have to bring it up.
Yana Dioma. We should do a study how each daf is related to the news of the day, right? Because Hashem is communicating to us through the daf. Somehow there's a message there in the daf. Yasser Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman was sitting. V'ka'amar l'hashmaita. And he was saying this lesson of Rav Huna Amar Rav. Esver Rav Acha Bar Min Yumi, the Rav Nachman. So Rav Acha Bar Min Yumi challenged Rav Nachman with the following Mishnah. A guy who comes to a watchman and says, Heichan Pikdoni, where is my object that I deposited with you to watch? Amar Le, he said, Abad, it got lost. So I said back, right? So apparently he's a watchman who's not getting paid. So since he's not getting paid, if it's lost, he doesn't have to pay for it. I say to him, Ashbiachani, I'm making you swear. Amar Amin, he said, yeah, fine, I swear. Then witnesses come and say, Sha'achlo, he wasn't lost. He ate the object himself. So now, Mishalim Esakaren, says the Mishnah, he has to pay for what he swore. Hodameyatzmo, if he himself admits, so now he needs an atonement for the false oath. Mishalim Karen v'chomash v'asham. He pays the principal. He adds a fifth, and he has to bring a karban asham. So what do you see? We don't say that the oath itself was enough. We don't say, well, I got an oath. Witnesses came, but I got an oath. I don't get money anymore. We don't say that. You see that Rav is wrong. Amalei Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said like this. Ach, mayaskinan. When is the case of the Mishnah? Kagon d'nish b'chutz l'bezdin. I made him swear outside of the court. So if I made him swear outside of the court and then witnesses come and say it was a false oath, he needs to pay money. Because that's not considered that he gave me anything. When did the pasuk say that the owner will take the oath and not get money? That's when the owner got him to swear in the court. That's a much more frightening experience. Then the owner got the oath, he doesn't get money. Amar Lesi said to him, if that's the case, Ema Sefer, read the end of that Mishnah. Heichan Pikdoni. I go to a watchman. I say, where is my object that I gave to you to watch? Amar lo, he says to me, Nignav, sorry, it was stolen. I say to him, Ashbiachani, I'm making you swear. Amar Aman, he said, yeah, true. Then Edom Edom also the witnesses Kam Shagnava, that it wasn't stolen by others, he stole it. Nesham Tashlume Kefil. So since he had sworn falsely about theft, he's considered the thief. This is what we've learned earlier in the Masechta called Toein Tainas Ganav, a person who claims a false claim of theft. Meshalim Kefil, he pays double. Hoda Me'atzma, if he would admit on his own, not witnesses that prove him wrong. Meshalim Kerem V'chomesh V'yashem, he has to pay the principal a fifth and another bring a carbon ashem. V'yisak Adadachna, if you're going to tell me, Chutz LeBezdin, that this oath happened outside of Bezdin, Mi'ika Kefil, why should he be paying double for an oath that happened outside of Bezdin? That's the question. Amar Le, Sir Rav Nachman said, I could tell you a simple answer. Reisha Chutz LeBezdin. The first part of the Mishnah is talking about an oath outside of Bezdin. That's why when the witnesses come, he still has to pay. And Seifa BeBezdin, and the end of the Mishnah, it talks about the oath creating an obligation of paying double, was an oath that happened in Bezdin. But I don't want to give you that answer because that's not such a pleasant answer to say that the Mishnah is switching the cases in the middle without telling us. So therefore, I'll tell you like this. You're really right. The first oath was in Bezdin and the second oath was in Bezdin. So you say, one second, if a guy swore in Bezdin, that seems to be against Rav's law. Because Rav says that once a person swears, even if witnesses come later, so the owner of the object at least got an oath. He doesn't necessarily need to get paid. It's not a contradiction. Kan bekafatz. One is referring to a case where the man jumps and volunteers an oath. Kan b'shelo kafatz. And the other case is where the Bezdin made him take an oath. So, when do we say he has to pay double? That's when Bezdin made him take an oath on a claim of theft, and it turns out that it was a lie based on witnesses. He has to pay double. When did we say that he doesn't, it's not as if he gave an oath. The oath that he gave is not enough. He needs to pay. He swore, but since witnesses came, he still needs to pay. That's when he jumped up to swear. And since he jumped up to swear, it's not that Bezdin pulled an oath out of him. So the owner of the object didn't get a Bezdin oath. And therefore, he is not exempted from paying. No, because in Malve Kesef, the money that was borrowed belongs to the borrower. So it's his money. He can spend it.
But if I give him something to be shomer,
he's not allowed to touch it. He's not allowed to touch it. It's not his. He's not even allowed to touch it.
I cannot tell him, sign me a shtar, okay?
Right.
In a way.
Well, you can have him sign a shtar, but it doesn't matter. Yeah. Amar le Rami Bar Chama le Rav Nachman. So Rami Bar Chama said to Rav Nachman, Michti... Rav lo svirlach. I know you don't even agree with this law of Rav. It's such a strange law. I mean, everybody here has had a hard time with it. What a strange law. A guy comes and claims to the watchman, you owe me something. The watchman swears that he doesn't. Witnesses come and prove that the oath was false, and he doesn't have to pay. It's a bizarre law. An oath is a payment. It's such a strange law. You don't agree with it. So, Mechti, Rav lo svirlach. You don't agree with Rav. So mashkuni nafshecha de Rav lamali. So why are you making your soul a collateral to Rav to twist yourself into contortions to figure out the Mishnah that the Mishnah is not contradicting Rav? The Mishnah is the first part of the Mishnah is talking about where a guy jumps and swears. The second part of the Mishnah is where the Bezdin makes him swear. What do you need to do that for? You don't agree with the halach anyway. So Amar Leis, he said to him like this: Lefrushe de Rav. I still want to justify the Mishnah based on the view of Rav. The Rav, I want to explain what Rav would say to explain the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Rav Kraka Amar. But Rav, now, how could anyone argue with Rav? Rav has a pasuk. Amar Kra, Amri, they answered in the yeshiva, Kra, this pasuk is referring to something else. The pasuk that says "V'lakach ba'ala v'lo yishalim" means it's to teach you l'chal nishba'in shabbat Torah, that when there is an argument, I say you owe me money, you say you don't owe me money, so who gets to swear? You who says that you don't owe me swears nishba'in v'lo mishalman, that the oath is on the part of the person who there's a claim against him. He swears and he doesn't have to pay. You're the one who's making the claim, take the oath. That's what the pasuk is saying. You take the oath, but it's not saying take the oath even after witnesses come and don't get reimbursed. It's saying in general, in an argument, it's the one who doesn't want to pay, he's the one who swears, and through the oath, he becomes exempt from paying.
Presumed guilty.
The oath is credible to make him innocent, that's to get him right off the hook.
Right.
No, not pay the money. To explain Rav's opinion. No, to explain Rav's opinion. Just to explain the answer. So the pasuk is saying the lakach ba'alav and the owner will take it. The lo yishalem and he doesn't have to pay. That means mishalav l'shalim u'nishba. The one who should have been paying is the one who swears. Challenges the Gemara. The Gemara challenges the view of Rav. Masa Rav Amnuna. Rav Amnuna challenged it. We learned from a Mishnah. A man who they are demanding of him money. And the man making the demand makes him swear 5 times. Whether all these 5 oaths are in Bezdin or out of Bezdin. The Chafer Olav, and each time he says, fine, I don't owe you the money, I don't owe you the money. And then he admits that he lied 5 times. Chayav al kolachas v'achas. He owes a 5th for each oath, and he owes an asham for each oath. V'am Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon said, Mata, what's the reason why he keeps owing? After that first oath, so why does he have to now have a, why does he have an obligation for the second oath? Hol v'yachar lazul lahodos. Because after that first oath, he could have admitted. And had he admitted at that time, he would have been obligated. And since he didn't admit, so that's yet another denial of money. So again, an obligation. Now, says the Gemara, V'hacha kafetz l'matzis amit. You can't say here that he's jumping to swear, because he's bi'alav katani. Because it says that the oath was placed upon him. Chutz l'bezen l'matzis amit. You can't say that the oath was put on him out of Bezdin, because it says bifnei Bezdin katani. It happened in front of Bezdin. And you see that even though he swears about money and he denies it, and he swore about it, he could become obligated again, unlike Rav, that the oath itself is the payment. So most of Lavu Mefarklas, he asked the question, but he gave the answer. Litzdadin Katani, the Mishnah is referring to a variety of cases. Hishbia Lav Chutz LeBezdin, if a guy made the watchman swear out of Bezdin 5 times, then Ubebezdin. And the case in Bezdin when he made him swear is not that he made him swear, it's kishakafa, it's when he jumped to swear. And so either if the oath is out of Bezdin or if he's volunteering an oath, that's not an oath that the Bezdin is pulling from him, and such an oath is not considered the equivalent of payment, and that's when there would be multiple obligations.
So it's not that I'm requesting from him to swear 5 times.
I could have been requesting, but he's jumping to volunteer it. It's not Bezdin forcing him. Yeah. That's what's happening. That's the case. He wants his money back. Masiv Rava. Rava challenged this. Again, challenged Rav Huna. We learned. Bala Baya Shatan Tainas Ganav. Bipikadon. A watchman who's not getting paid, who claims that the object that he has to watch was stolen. Vinishba. And then he swore. Vahod. Then he admits that it was a false oath. Uvo edim, and witnesses come. Imach lo bo edim hod, if he admitted before the witnesses, Misham karim chom shviyashim, he has to pay the principal of 5th and another carbon. Imach lo bo edim hod, if witnesses came and said that it was a false oath, and then he admitted, Misham tashlume kefil, he has to pay double because he had sworn about Geneva, and he has to pay, he has to bring a carbon asham. And 1 second, vahacha, here, it's chutz lebezdin. I'm sorry, chutz lebezdin v'kafatz l'matzis amrit. You can't say that it's an oath out of Bezdin or that he volunteered the oath, because we're saying if witnesses come, he has to pay kefil katani. He has to pay double. And nevertheless, it says that if he swears and the witnesses come and he then admits, he still pays double. Not like Rav, who says that if he swears and witnesses come, he doesn't have to pay because he gave the oath. So, Ela Amar Rava, so Rava therefore said, Kol hoda, if he admits, lo shnatoin tainas ava, doesn't make a difference. whether the claim was that it had been lost, or Loshna Toin Tainas Ganav, or the watchman claims that it was stolen. Lo Amar Rav, Rav would not say that the Shvua is enough. Toxic, because the Pasuk says, Visvada, that if he admits, Tiboy Shlume Karen Vachomash, he has to pay the principal and another fifth. And Toin Tainas Ganav, if a person claims that it was stolen and swore, Uvo Edman, witnesses come and say that he himself has it. Nami lo amar Rav. Then also Rav wouldn't say that the oath is the equivalent of paying the object, Taksiv, because the Torah says, Tashlume Kefal, he has to pay double. Ki kamar, when did Rav say that the oath is considered a payment? Kagon shetoin tainas avad v'nishba. If the watchman claimed that it was lost, and then he swore, lo hoda, and he never admitted, uvo edim, and all we have is witnesses coming against him, then he has to. Then the oath itself is considered the payment of the principal, and therefore that Mishnah is not a problem, because that Mishnah was talking about where he himself admits, and when he himself admits, of course he has to pay.
Has to be the opposite case.
One second, Baruch, what's the question?
All these cases are that they are witnesses, so it's easy for the business to make a decision. If there is no witnesses involved,
We believe the man who swears.
For the person to make a decision between both of them, they swear that I didn't take it or didn't give it to me.
That's what we do.
if there is any decision on the best involved.
That's what we do.
But if there is any decision, would Bezdin says, okay, give the item back equally to
the 20%? No. We wait. Rav Gamda went, and he told the ideas of Rava to Rav Ashi. Amalei, Rav Ashi said, Hashto, ma Rav Hamnuna Tamuda de Rav, Yodad Amar Rav. Here, Rav Hamnuna was the student of Rav. He knows that Rav said his law even when Hoda, even when the guy admits. The Kamosiv Hoda, that's why he was challenging him from cases where there was an admitting. Vat Amit, you're saying Hoda lo Amar Rav, that Rav never said that when a guy admits that the oath itself is considered a payment. Amalei Rav Acha Sava le Rav Ashi. So Rav Acha Sava said to Rav Ashi, no, Rav Hamnuna, Achi Kakash, Rav Hamnuna's questions were like this. If you're going to say nishba, that when he swears, he also aidim mechayiv. If witnesses later come, they would obligate him. Amatu lahachi mechayvin alei carbon ashvua basraisa. That's why we can say he has to bring a carbon for that second oath too. Ho el viyachol lagzur lahodos, since he could have admitted between the two. Elai amit, if you're going to say kiyasu aidim pater, that if witnesses would come, he would be exempt. So miika midi dilu asi sadi umasidi bay pater. Are we going to say that had witnesses come and denied him, he'd still be exempt because he gave an oath? Now this oath that he makes, a second oath, we're going to say he has to bring a carbon for it. Since he could have admitted, but he hasn't admitted right now. So that was what our question was. If a person is a watchman who claims that the object was stolen and he swears falsely, and then witnesses come and say that he has it, he has to pay double. If he slaughtered this object that he falsely swore that was stolen, he has to pay four or five times. And how do we know this? Just like a thief pays double. A person who claims theft pays double. So just like a thief who pays double. If he slaughters, he has to pay four or five. So to a watchman who claims falsely theft, he has to pay double. And therefore, if he slaughtered or sold, he has to pay four or five. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Maybe there's a difference. A thief pays double even though he didn't swear. Whereas a watchman would only pay double if he swore about his false claim. So maybe it's stricter with him. It's harder for him to pay double. So maybe he doesn't have to pay four or five. Amri, so the answer, it's not that we're comparing them. It's a pasuk, Akesha. It's based on the fact that the Torah talks about a double payment for a thief, and next to it, it talks about a double payment for a watchman. The fact that they're a little bit different doesn't mean that you can disprove a lesson from a pasuk. The Gemara said, well, honey, that's fine if you say that chad beganav and chad betoin tanis ganav, that one pasuk is referring to a thief, and the next pasuk is talking about a watchman who claims theft. Shapi, you can say that the two laws are linked to each other in the verses. But if you're going to say that both of them are talking about a person who makes a claim of theft, so where do you have a linkage between a thief and a person who makes a claim of theft? Amri, they answered in the yeshiva. We learned it from the fact that it could have said ganav, and instead it said ha ganav. Ace, Rav Chiya bar Abba, Rav Yochanan. Rav Chiya bar Abba challenged Rav Yochanan. We learned in a braisa, a man comes and says, hey, Chon Shori, where's my ox? So he asks the watchman, where's my ox? So the watchman says, Nignav, it was stolen. So he says, Mashbiachan, I'm making you swear. Amar, amen. He said, fine, true, amen. Then witnesses come and say, we saw him eat that ox. So Masham Tashlumei Kefu, he has to pay double because he claimed theft, and he's really the thief. How's he eating the meat? He must have done a shchita, right? And yet Masham Tashlumei Kefu, it says he only pays double, doesn't pay four times. Tashlumei Kefu, Tashlumei Dalet Vehelo, he doesn't pay four or five, he just pays double. And the Gemara says, no. He ate it without having shechted it. The animal just dropped dead, and he ate treif. So why don't you say that he ate it when he did shecht it, but the animal turned out to be a treifa? Answer the Gemara, this could be Meir Dama Shechita, Sheinu Ru'uya, would also be considered a shechita in regards to paying four or five. Lishnile, why don't you answer Beved Pakua, that there was a shechita on the mother, but they saw them eating the animal who was the baby inside the mother, so that animal doesn't need a shechita, that's why it wasn't four or five on that. As the Gemara, Rabbi Meir again, Rabbi Yochanan held like Rabbi Meir, Damar ben Pekua ton shechita, that an animal, the baby inside the fetus inside the mother, needs its own shechita. Why don't you say that there was first a court case before he shechted, and he claimed stolen, and he swore, and then he shechted it. And the court already told him to pay. So Amar Rava said, say tainlo, if the court tells the thief, pay, and then tavachumacha, then he slaughters pot, he doesn't have to pay four or five. My time of why, because given the Paschal Mil say, once they said that he owes it, and then tavachumacha, then he slaughters or sells, Avi Gazlan, he's already an open thief, he's not a ganav anymore. Gazlan lo masham tashlumi abav v'chamisha, it's only a ganav that pays four or five, not a gazlan. If they only told him, chayavat litilonu, you have to pay, v'tavachumacha, and he slaughtered, chayav, he still would owe four or five. My time of kokamit lo psikli le milsa, since they haven't yet said, you have absolutely have to pay, akati ganav, he's still a ganav. Amri, so they answered in the yeshiva. According to your logic, he could have answered that they were partners in the theft, and one slaughtered without telling his friend, and then he doesn't have to pay four or five. Ella, there are a lot of answers that could have been given. He took one of two or three possibilities. Is there any